Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Westwood One Sports on WFAN FM HD2 New York, an Odyssey sports station. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos and the crew, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Bring it up, Kenny. Final hour. Power hour. You better you bet on Westwood One Sports. Nick Kostos, our amazing crew, and you. The power hour and every hour here on You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. That's how you say it, John Hamm. You jerk. I love John Hamm. Download the BetMGM app and visit BetMGM.com. About 20 minutes from now, friend of the show, my good buddy, Sal Licata will join us. Love when Sal Licata joins You Better You Bet. I know you do as well. Sal will stop by in about 20 minutes to talk the Knicks, the NBA playoffs, and more. All our bets for tonight will close the show. I've got a nice stat for you that I will give in a few moments here, as it concerns the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we have a couple baseball topics to discuss as well in moments. I didn't know if I wanted to do this on the show today, but I am, because I have the microphone. And like Eric Hartman once famously said, I do what I want, within reason. So I'm going to do it right here for a few moments. And I want to be really careful and measured about how I say this, because I do not, and it is my intention and my goal to not come, and this is a loaded way to start something. Just hear me out. It is not my goal or intention to come across as preachy or that I'm trying to tell anybody what to do. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. That is not my intention. So please, I'm going to do everything I can to not have this come across that way. That's not what I want, how I want this to be taken. Today is my daughter's second birthday. She was born May 6th, 2 years ago. It's pretty awesome. My 43rd birthday is 1 month from today. So June 6th, I will turn 43 years old. I don't have, and regret is a relative term, right? I don't have many regrets in my life. Candidly, when I think about the thing that I maybe regret the most, there was this really, really hot soccer player my freshman year of college who I definitely feel like something could have happened between me and her. And I was in a relationship at the time that was on the rocks, and I stayed in the relationship, and I really regret that because I feel like that would have really been fun. That is maybe, I don't have a lot of regrets in life. That is a tremendous regret of mine. That's a regret. And I can't really say that this is a regret, what I'm about to lay out for you, because if it had gone differently, then it wouldn't be what it is now. Part of me, though, does regret not having children earlier in life. So I spent most of my 20s and 30s, I didn't think I wanted to have a child. Thought I wanted to not maybe not be single my entire life, but, you know, have the latitude and the freedom to be able to do whatever I want, right? Both with my money and with my time. And credit to my now wife, who like laid down the law pretty early on in our relationship that she really wanted to have, it was a non-negotiable for her, wanted to have kids. And as time went on, I could say, like, she kind of wore me down. And when we agreed to do it, and then it happens, right? I was, not that I didn't, because I agreed to it, right? So I'm a willing party in it. But part of me is kind of like, whoa, this is going to be a big thing in my life, obviously. A huge life-changing thing. I cannot imagine now my life without my daughter. And I think like any parent will tell, any good parent will tell you the same thing. I am an old dad. Not the oldest dad possible, but like I will be 43 next month. My daughter turns 2 today. If I have a second child, let's say like my next child is born next year, I'll be 44 when that child's born. I'm not ancient. I'm not a senior citizen. But I think, you know, once we all reach a certain age, and for some of you, you're not there yet, and that's great. You all start thinking about our collective mortality, right? Especially when you become a parent. Because it really becomes, it's no longer about you. It's about them. And I think, you know, like I'm going to be, when my daughter turns or is in her 40s, I'll be in my 80s. God willing, I'm still here. I want to be here for as long as possible for my child. It's less about me and more about her. And less about me and more about, hopefully, them when it's all said and done. Multiple children. So none of this is to say, like, you, the person watching or listening, need to have a child. You're more than capable of making your own decision and knowing what's best for you. So it's not me preaching and telling you, you should do this, and you're dumb if you don't. I don't think that at all. People can do what they want. Different decisions can be made for different people. So I guess the audience for which I am directing this towards would be someone who was like me when I'm a little younger, who thinks, I don't want to do this, but, you know, maybe. And what I would say is, taking my path isn't bad. Like, I don't think what I did is bad. I think it's awesome. I'm really happy. But if you wait as long as I waited, you're going to have those thoughts. I'm an old dad. Like, when my daughter's 10, I'll be in my early 50s. Not the worst thing in the world. I kind of wish I had done it earlier. So I just wanted to provide that perspective for people. I don't mean it to be preachy at all. Do whatever you want. God bless you. I hope you do whatever makes you happy, and I mean that. Just that these are the kinds of things that I think about as a dad to a young child in my 40s. It is the greatest gift that's ever been given. And I think about, you know, do I have the freedom necessarily once the NFL season ends? To go to, I'm making this up, go to Paris for 2 weeks. I don't have that. I can't do it. It's not possible. I mean, I could. It just leads to my divorce. I can't take my 2-year-old to Europe for 2 weeks. I mean, I guess you could. It's not, that doesn't seem to be that feasible. So, yeah, like you give up some of your freedom. Like you can't take archery class necessarily or go to Portugal, like visit Lisbon on a whim. But the love that you get from your child and that feeling that you get is indescribable. For me, doesn't have to be for you. So there you go. I hope that did not come across to me hitting you over the head and telling you what to do. But it, literally my name's on the show, and that is one of the big thoughts that I am having today on May 6th. My lovely, beautiful, my daughter, the light of my life, her second birthday today. You Better You Bet on this Wednesday. Nick Costos and you on Westwood One Sports. And with that, let's talk some sports. So last night in the Stanley Cup playoffs, losing bet for yours truly, as the Colorado Avalanche beat the piss out of the Minnesota Wild for the second consecutive game. Colorado wins 2-0, wins 5-2, and now has a 2-0 lead in the best of 7 series, despite Minnesota outshooting Colorado in the game. So I'm thinking about it this morning. So Colorado sweeps the Kings in the first round and is up 2-0 in this series on Minnesota. The Carolina Hurricanes swept the Ottawa Senators in round one and are up 2-0 in their second round series against the Philadelphia Flyers. So you have the betting favorite in the East, Carolina, 6-0 start to the postseason. And you have the betting favorite in the West, the Colorado Avalanche, a 6-0 start to the postseason. So I looked it up this morning. I was fascinated by this, right? How many times in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs have multiple teams started with six-game winning streaks? Multiple. It hasn't happened since 1959 with the Montreal Canadiens and the St. Louis Blues, that two teams have both started 6-0. In this century, here are the teams and the years that a hockey team has started 6-0 in the Stanley Cup playoffs. 2003, the Anaheim Ducks. 2008, the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Ducks did it again in 2015. The Golden Knights did it in 2020. The Avalanche in 2021. My Rangers just a couple years ago in 2024. What do all those teams have in common? Teams this century that have begun the playoffs 6-0. None of them won the Stanley Cup. The Ducks lost Game 7 to the New Jersey Devils. That's the year that John Sebastian Jaguar won Conn Smythe on a losing team. The Ducks lost in the final. The Penguins in 08 famously lost to the Red Wings in the Stanley Cup final and then would come back and beat Detroit the next year in Game 7 in one of the best hockey games ever played, that Game 7, where Marc-Andre Fleury and company are turning aside a flurry of shots in the closing moments of Game 7 as Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and Chris Letang win their first Stanley Cup in Pittsburgh. The 2015 Ducks lost in the Western Conference Final. The Knights lost in the Western Conference Final. The Avs lost in the second round in 21, and my Rangers lost to the Panthers in the 24 Eastern Conference Final. The history that I believe will be made this year, the Colorado Avalanche are going to win the Cup. Colorado's the best team. And yes, do they have a couple goaltending concerns? And we touched on that yesterday with Dennis Bernstein. Yes, like Scott Wedgwood. It's not like when you close your eyes and think of great Stanley Cup goalies, and you have your Sergei Bobrovskis, right, from recently, and recently your Andre Vasilevskis, and your Patrick Waz, and your Martin Brodeurs, and your Dominic Hasek's. Scott Wedgwood is not that. Not yet, at least. Not even Jonathan Quick. Not even Corey Crawford, Antti Niemi, right, with the Blackhawks. When the Avs won the Stanley Cup in 22, Darcy Kemper was the goalie. Is anyone going to confuse Darcy Kemper with Patrick Waugh? The Avs are so good. I would actually, and I've been saying this for a while, right? That when it comes down to it, I think there's not going to be a lot of drama, sadly. And like, think about what I do for a living. We're sports fans, right? And I host a sports radio show. I love drama. Drama gives us more stuff to talk about. I think it's just going to be the Thunder and the Avs, like the two favorites. Both in the Western Conference. And that's going to be it. And at this point right now, and look, Montreal or Buffalo, is it possible one of them could beat Carolina? Yeah. It looks like, and it's still a lot of time to go, Carolina's only up 2-0 on Philly. Things can change, right, in that series. It feels like it's going to be Colorado-Carolina, where both teams that started 6-0 will make the Stanley Cup final this year. That would be my best guess. I do think the Avs will buck this trend. And I'm curious how far the Avs can take this. Are they going to sweep Minnesota? Are they going to start 8-0? They are disgustingly good. And I would be stunned, shocked, amazed if the Avs did not win this year's Stanley Cup. So Major League Baseball now for you on this Wednesday morning. So we had, not like a full-on brawl, but we had what Mike Sorrentino would refer to as a situation last night in Detroit with the Red Sox and the Tigers. So Framber Valdez is starting pitcher for Detroit. He gives up back-to-back jacks, absolute moonshots to Contreras and Abreu, and in the fourth inning, and Detroit's up or trailing 10-2. So the Red Sox have an 8-run lead. Trevor Story steps up to the plate, and Framber Valdez drills him in the back. This kind of felt like to me for Yankee, I think maybe if you're a baseball fan, you'll remember this, Yankee fans will of a certain age, when Armando Benitez drilled Tino Martinez in the late 90s after Benitez gave up a home run, and Graham Lloyd, the original saucy Aussie, came running out of the bullpen. He was like, 6'8" to kill Armando Benitez. And I remember my dad saying, Graham Lloyd might kill Benitez here. So this was clearly, and I'll get to why I know it's clearly, but if you watched it, you know, we've seen it before, right? Pitcher's getting tattooed. He's pissed. Gives up a couple bombs. What does he do? Takes it out on the next batter. Drills Trevor Story. So the Red Sox are furious when this happens, right? And the Red Sox start to empty the dugout. And now the Tigers have to come out, right? Because they're not going to like just like leave Valdez there, no matter even if they know he's wrong. Tigers, man, and I do think this is kind of dripping in irony, given that A.J. Hinch is a cheater with what happened with the Astros. I do want to say that. But A.J. Hinch, after the game, not only did not come to the defense of Framber Valdez, but threw his pitcher under the bus. I will paraphrase A.J. Hinch's quote, and we looked for the sound. I don't know that it exists. I think it's just in print, so I will basically paraphrase for you what A.J. Hinch said. We run a certain type of club here and play a certain brand of baseball. Again, they're banging garbage cans in Houston. That's a story for another time. We play a certain brand of baseball that we can be proud of here. Basically saying this was not that. And generally, when you come out of the dugout in situations like this, you feel like you're on the right side of it. This didn't feel like that. So he's basically saying like Valdez hit him on purpose and that it's unacceptable and they broke an unwritten rule, right? Now, Valdez, of course, what's he going to say? Like, yeah, I did it on purpose. He says after the game it was an accident. The ball slipped out of his hands. He doesn't think he should be suspended. Methinks he's going to get suspended. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be suspended for a month. But now you think about it, right, with the Tigers, where the vibes are a little low right now. So they lose the game. They're under 500, 18 and 19. Tarik Skubal, we told you yesterday, the reigning defending two-time American League Cy Young Award champion, Cy Young Award winner, is going to miss 2 to 3 months arthroscopic surgery to remove loose bodies in his elbow. Casey Mize is currently on the injured list. Justin Verlander, another Astros cheater, by the way, is currently on the injured list as well. And now Framber Valdez might get suspended. Things are not great right now. Pistons looking really good. Things not great right now. The vibes are not great in Detroit for the Tigers. I really wanted to then turn this into a White Sox thing, but the White Sox lost last night, unfortunately, so we can't do that, even if I am very excited about the Chicago White Sox and Murakami and the pitching staff, but they did lose last night to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, of North America, of planet Earth, of the Milky Way galaxy. So instead of talking White Sox, here's a little bit on the red-hot streaking Chicago Cubs, who win last night again in come-from-behind fashion, thanks to Michael Busch. They beat the Cincinnati Reds again. They have won 7 straight games and are now 24-12, one of the best records in baseball. The lineup is an embarrassment of riches. Nico Horner has been unbelievable this year for the Cubs. Suzuki is awesome for the Cubs. They have great young players in this lineup. They are an awesome, awesome, really fun team with a proven manager in Craig Counsell. Now, not having Horton, obviously, in the pitching staff hurts. Steele should be back. Is it possible that the Chicago Cubs are the biggest threat in the National League to the Los Angeles Dodgers? Is that possible? I think it is. So if you're a Chicago baseball fan right now, you absolutely have to be tickled pink because the White Sox are way better than expected. They're in the thick of it in the AL Central, even if you don't think they're going to win it. Been a really fun start. Murakami launching bombs seemingly every night. And the Cubs, not only in first place in the division, but having the look and feel of a team that could be one of the last teams standing come October. I wish I could say the same thing I said about Chicago baseball, about New York baseball. But sadly, for New York baseball fans, only one team living up to their end of the bargain. That's my team, the New York Yankees, who are now 15-2 in their last 17 games. The Mets may be on the upswing now. I am betting them today against the Colorado Rockies. Perhaps they can get it together Joining us on the other side to talk some baseball and, of course, the NBA playoffs, friend of the show, the great Sal Licata, next on You Better You Bet with Nick Costos on Westwood One Sports.
NBA playoff TV ratings are the highest they've been in 33 years. Stanley Cup playoffs viewership is surging year over year. Now in the second round, we're breaking down the matchups that matter most to you.
This is Westwood One, baby!
Westwood One Sports.
My son loves to fly kites, but my active psoriatic arthritis can sometimes hold me back. Now with Skyrizi to treat my skin and joints, I'm ready to go. Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults, helps with less joint pain, stiffness, swelling, and fatigue. For those who also have plaque psoriasis, 90% clearer skin is possible with just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, there's nothing like clearer skin and better movement, and that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi today and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
At Tidal Wave Auto Spa, we believe a great car wash should leave your car seriously shiny. That's why we put it to the test in the Tidal Wave Shine Showdown, where 84% of people chose Tidal Wave as the shinier wash. Stop by Tidal Wave Auto Spa for a top-of-the-line car wash that leaves your car shining outside and fresh inside. Every car wash includes free vacuums, microfiber towels, and interior cleaning sprays. Find a location near you at TidalWaveAutoSpa.com.
The world is huge, like 197 million square miles huge, but it's also smaller than you think. With unlimited 2% cash back, the Cash Rewards Plus Visa card from Navy Federal brings our members closer to the game they love, rewarding fans of FIFA World Cup 26 every step of the way, thanks to Visa. From new jerseys and gear to game day tickets and nonstop cheer, with Visa and Navy Federal by your side, the world is at your fingertips. Terms apply for credit card rewards. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash for more information. Visa.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
All our bets for tonight will close the show about 20 minutes from now. I got bets in both basketball games. Got some hockey bets for you, some baseball bets as well. Give those out at the end of the show. But joining us right now, friend of the program, the one, the only, I gotta tell you, man, people not watching the show right now, you're missing out, because my man looks good. He's leaned out, arms looking a little bigger. The great Sal Licata, host of the Sal Licata Show on YouTube and wherever you find your podcast. And this segment on You Better You Bet, sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at ProgressiveCommercial.com, ProgressiveCommercial.com. Sal, any truth to the rumor that you attended the Met Gala earlier this week?
No, there is no truth to that rumor. You know, I didn't even know there was like a charity event. For years, it's just like, oh, the Met Gala, how stupid is this? And I'd be ripping it, but it was a charity event. I'll tell you though, Nick, Ben Stiller went up in my book. I mean, when you're married, you know this. Unfortunately, I know this. Like, you got to sacrifice. And if you have to sacrifice game one for maybe your wife's Super Bowl, which is the Met Gala, God bless. Like Ben Stiller, he lost that when he said, I do. He lost his Nick fan. The second you say, I do, you're losing a lot. Like for me, I can't watch college football anymore. I love college football on Saturdays. But I said, I do. That's it. There's sacrifice. What? Friends party, relatives this, relatives that, Met Gala. You have to make sacrifices. Ben Stiller sacrificed game one, round two, and he was miserable doing it. Respect to a fellow married man. He went up a few notches in my book.
Here's my question for you. Now, I want to preface this by saying, I will speak for you for a moment. Sal loves his wife. Actually, like, I don't know that that's true, but I'm assuming it is. Sal loves his wife. I love my wife. Is marriage stupid?
I actually think it is. I think it's good in you like before that, like I'm sure you were the same way. I always wanted to meet somebody and get married, and you want to have that companion. And there are great things about that, clearly. I mean, Mother's Day weekend, don't get me started on that. That's a whole nother nightmare. The mother, the wife,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's like, we need to rein in the spending. Also, like, get me this for Mother's Day.
Yeah, $30 on three cards. That, like, do I get a card from me? Is it from me to my mom because she raised me? Is it from the both of us, which is kind of BS? Yeah. You know, then one from the dog, one from the daughter, like to my wife.
I had to get a gift for my daughter's godmother.
I mean, come on, mother. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I guess I didn't even think about that. I got to go back to the store now and do that. But no, we love our wives, and there are parts of married life that I absolutely love and would not trade. However, there are things about the single life, just doing as you please, whenever the hell you want, especially when as it pertains to sports. That's something that you sacrifice and you give up.
I just
let me ask you this way. Let me ask you this way.
Yeah.
Would you ever get married again?
Well, this implies that like this marriage is going to end.
But just okay, I understand that. But just in a hypothetical world, because I thought about this. And that's how I get to the resolution of, if I would never definitively in my life ever do this again, what does that tell you about the decision of first?
I think I probably would, because it would be at a different time in your life, right? Because like, you know, you have young kids, right? Like my daughter's, and I said this earlier, just so my daughter's second birthday today. So it's like, you're limited.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. So like, you know, in 15 years, and I'm an old dad, man. In 15 years, I'm going to be 58.
Right.
What the hell, man? Anyway.
I know.
Like, you do it a little later, though, and then you have the freedom to kind of do what you want. So, like, maybe. But then I guess the thought would be, like, I'll just stay with my wife, and then we'll just do that when both of us are a little older.
I do think that as a parent, an older parent of young kids, right? Like, we're still learning. Even my daughter's five, but, like, I'm still adjusting.
So how old were you when your first was born?
41, I guess, right? Because I'm 46,
so
now she's 5 years old. Okay.
I was 40.
So similar.
Wait, no. Right, so 40, about to be 41. So same age. I turn 43 next month.
Very similar. So I think that, like, marriage in itself isn't really that much different from, like, just dating. But then when you have the kid on top of that, that really changes things. So maybe when the kid gets older, then you could get back to where it kind of was before. I don't know. We're still learning as we go. All I know is this. There are some days where it's really freaking hard, and you have to make a lot of sacrifice to have a successful marriage. That's it, you know.
Do you ever think
what are
about?
We talking about?
Because I did this to start the hour. I was thinking a lot about my daughter's birthday today, right? Just like I'm kind of not like the oldest dad, but I'm kind of an old dad. You're kind of an old dad, also, right? For when your daughter was born. Do you ever think about, like, when she's 40, you're going to be in your 80s? I think about this a lot. And, like, it makes me sad.
I've thought it in, like, the real dark landscape of it. Like, I'm probably never going to be a grandfather. Right? Odds are. And I don't think we're in the...
I don't think that's necessarily true.
Well, I mean, what do you think the average age is in today's world? Like, I don't even think that you or I are abnormal. Certainly for this industry.
I think people are going to start getting, this generation is going to start getting married and having kids. Cause here's my thought. Okay. So just yes or no question. Does any part of you wish that you had kids when you were younger?
No.
See, I regret it.
But I liked my life before.
Yes, of course.
Okay, but so that's the thing. So like, I feel like at the very, even though marriage can be difficult and kids and all that stuff, but I don't feel like I left anything on the table really, because I wrote it out as long as I could. Whereas you look at other people who got married out of high school or, you know, 20 years old, they were having kids. Like, God, I had an extra, if you got married at 22, let's say, or 25 and had a kid, I had an extra 15 years of doing, like, that's a long freaking time.
What do you miss the most? from that life?
I miss living in the city and the unknown, not even just like the dating landscape, because even that's overblown. Like when you don't have somebody, it's harder to find somebody. You know what I mean? It's always better in your mind, like, oh, I could go out and date. In reality, absolutely, it's not that easy. But I miss just the freedom of whatever the day would bring. Had my work schedule, which I love to do, come home to my own apartment, my own time, all of it to me. That's what I miss. I don't really have my own time. Now I'm getting woken up by the dog. I'm getting woken up by my daughter. Then I got obligations to my wife, to my family. I don't have my me time circle is down to basically nothing. So that's what I would miss mostly. There is none between work, between being a dad, between being a husband, a dog father. Like I got no time for me. My time is gone. That's what I would miss most.
Do you know what I miss the most?
What?
Seriously? Getting stoned.
But can't you do that now?
I mean, you can, but like I'm talking Saturday, I don't have to work. Like firing up the bong at like 11 a.m. and just like melting into my couch the entire day, ordering food, doing nothing, and just blazing all day. I miss that. I don't do that anymore. I miss that.
Right. And this could tie it in back to sports a little bit. Like for me, dude, I remember waking up Saturday morning during college football season like an animal, betting games from noon.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, you can still do that.
1 a.m. Well, no, but like it was just whatever. I didn't have to shower. I'm in my gym shorts all day. I'm home in my apartment, whatever it is, living at my parents' house, betting games, wall to wall, college football, eating whatever I want, just doing nothing. That I miss. And even if I do watch it, it's never the same because there's always something with the daughter or the dog or the wife. You know?
There's always something. that should be like, if the title of the movie were Marriage, the subtitle of the movie would be Marriage, ... There's always something.
It is always something. And then you're regretting it, saying you'd rather do it younger. No. Imagine my parents who were getting married, like their early 20s, married and having kids in their early 20s. Wow.
Yeah.
What a sacrifice.
Yeah. Well, here's what I would say. It's like I genuinely feel like I was probably ready to have a kid when I was like 40. I would go, right. Not that I would have been a bad dad, but I don't know. I would have definitely would have been a bad husband. I don't even know if I'm a particularly good husband now. So like 10, 15 years ago, like, you know, I don't know. This
I know.
All right.
I'm definitely not. Yeah. All right. Let's go.
Yes. Listen. We try our best. You ready? Marriage, ... There's always something, ... It's never enough.
Dude, that's like, the truth.
Honestly, it's like you feel like LeBron James against the Thunder with like Boobie Gibson and Austin Reeves. I genuinely feel so. We'll get to the Knicks in a second, but I actually want to start with this. I feel like the Mets are about to go on like a big winning streak here. Not that they're going to like make the playoffs or win the World Series or anything like that. We had Tom Verducci on the show on Monday, and I asked him about the Mets and the Phillies and the Red Sox and the Astros, just like the theme of these teams with big expectations that have fallen short. And he singled out the Mets as being like the one team where you can say this team's way too talented to keep going this way. And he said 50-50, they keep Mendoza. So look, like they've won 3 of 4. They got rained out last night. It's the Rockies and the Angels. It's not like they're beating the Yankees and the Dodgers, but progress is progress. I kind of feel like they're about to go on a little run here. Your thoughts on your New York Metropolitans?
Here's why I can see why you're saying that, because I look at the starting pitching and I say, okay, well, Peralta tonight, Christian Scott, who actually showed some promise last time out, McLean behind him, Holmes behind him, like every night. And then even when you have a bullpen game, every night, I feel like the starting pitching should be able to at least definitely 3 out of the 5 should be able to give them a chance. That's what's been so annoying about this. They're losing the majority of games that Nolan McLean and Freddie Peralta pitch. That can't happen. So baseline of starting pitching, keeping them in the game. Okay, fair enough. At some point, you think Bo Bichette is going to start to hit. You combine that with Soto, maybe Benj getting hot. My issues are that Lindor is nowhere near returning. They have zero power. I mean, you think Vientos is going to go on a heater? I would trade him. I just can't take the inconsistencies. I don't trust the lesser guys in the lineup. For them to be good or to get better, it's going to be the best that they have. Whether it's the starting pitchers I mentioned, whether it is Bichette, Soto, Lindor, Polanco, both Lindor and Polanco still out. If those guys don't come back and perform, then they have no chance because I just don't rely on the rest of that lineup.
Do you want to do anything on the Yankees or just awesome, or you just want to do next?
No, I think the Yankees are great, and I think they're going to get better. I mean, right, I don't know what the odds are on the Yankees to win the World Series. I thought they were going to win the division coming in. I feel even the division, forget the AL East is over. I mean, it'll be wrapped up by Memorial Day because they play the Blue Jays and the Rays coming up. So to me, it's about World Series.
But the Rays are really good, though.
Okay, I admit, I don't know anything about the Rays, right? I know their record, and I'm looking forward to seeing them. They play the Yankees coming up this weekend of the 22nd. So that is Memorial Day weekend. After they play the Blue Jays to start that week, they'll play the Rays there. They dismiss the Red Sox, toast. They dismiss the Orioles, toast. I think the Blue Jays are also toast, but the Yankees will do it head-to-head. Are the Rays a legitimate threat? Maybe, but can they really compete with the Yanks? Come on, I don't see it.
By the way, we do have some breaking news in Major League Baseball. So Carlos Correa, before last night's game for the Astros, hurt his ankle, and there was thought he might be out for a couple of weeks or a couple months. Season-ending surgery on his ankle, 6 to 8 month recovery per Chandler Rome of The Athletic and also Ken Rosenthal. So look, the Astros stink, but like Carlos Correa, obviously a really good player. Carlos Correa out for the season for the Houston Astros. That news just breaking. Go ahead.
Also, think of that from the Mets' perspective. He was a guy that I was celebrating that the Mets were – they signed him. Like, the report was the Mets are signing Correa.
And then he went to the Twins, right?
Yes, because the medicals fell through. The Mets wouldn't commit to the whatever it was, ridiculous contract. Might even been 500. Was it that? It was a big contract at the time. Medicals fall through, disappointment. He goes to the Twins, and then the Mets had to pivot. But that would have been a bad contract. Clearly, the Mets were right for not giving that one out.
My friend Sal Licata here with me on You Better You Bet on Twitter at Sal_Licata, the Sal Licata Show on YouTube and in podcast form. We'll be on WIP later this afternoon with our pals Spike Eskin, Jack Fritz, and the great Ike Reese. All right, New York Knicks. I said yesterday on the show, following the game 1 win on Monday, I don't know that they're going to win even this series. I think they are. They could win the East. They could win the NBA title. They could lose this series. I think it's the best Knicks team of our lifetime. With the ceiling that they've shown the last couple games, where are you at right now on our New York Knicks?
Agreed with you, and I watch all your videos, and I hear it and see it, and I couldn't agree with you more. We disagree on some stuff. We see the Knicks basically the same way here. It is the most talented Knicks team that I've ever seen in my lifetime. I've said that for a while. What I've witnessed in the last 4 postseason games is something I don't even know how to process. Like, I've never seen it. Postseason games, even with my favorite Knicks teams of the 90s, they were always grueling battles. This is remarkable. I mean, in the history of the game, it's never happened. 3 straight postseason wins of 25 or more points. 86 Celtics, the only team to do it in back-to-back games over 30 or more points. So that is historic. And I'm starting to get to the point where I could trust them. I need to see it tonight. I think the Sixers are dangerous. I thought the Sixers coming into the series were a live dog for me with all the weapons that they have. If Embiid can stay healthy, that's the biggest if in the game. Tonight's going to show me, Nick, because if how many times have we seen the Knicks fail in the first 2 games of a series at home, either game
you,
one
you, you
or
can't
game two?
Say, you can't say, like, if you're a big Knicks fan, you can't say that, like, you're super – like, you can't be stunned if they lose this game tonight, to your point.
Right, but I think a lot of the younger Knicks fans are starting to get to that point where they've already put the Knicks in the finals. And I understand why the path is there. It certainly looked better with the Pistons on the verge of getting bounced by the Magic. Now, all of a sudden, Detroit looking better. But anyway, forget that. Forget the finals for a second. This series, it feels great after a 140-point win. If they lose game 2, they're right back to where we were before with the Pacers a year ago, the Hawks round 1, although the Hawks aren't as good as the Sixers in my mind. But still, this is an important game. Go send a message. I don't care how many they win by tonight. Win game 2, and then I will say, okay, I think it's safe to say this is different with this team. I expect them to beat the Sixers in 5 or 6 games, whatever it may take, move on to the next round, and I'd like my chances. But game 2, to me, tonight at the Garden, is going to be the game where it's a huge swing game as far as my confidence and trust in this team goes.
I'll disagree with that. If the Knicks lose, and it depends how they, if they lose by like 1,000 points tonight, that won't be great. Let's say they lose tonight and like the Sixers win by 5 or 6 and it's close with a couple minutes to go and the Sixers pull away and like Maxi makes a couple shots and they win the game, right? I got to come on the air and talk about it tomorrow morning, right? And I'm a couple days removed, if that happens, from saying this is, I think, the opportunity, the ceiling to be the best Knicks team of my lifetime. I'm actually not going to be spooked if they lose tonight. Now, you lose game three like they did against Atlanta, and they're down 2-1. Now, you know, the sphincter tights a little bit. It gets a little tighter if that happens. But they lose tonight. I think Philly's really good, and it's certainly in the range of outcomes for the Sixers to win tonight. So if the Knicks lose tonight's game, unless they lose by 30, I'm not going to come on the air tomorrow and be like, well, now they suck. And I'm not insinuating that's what you'll do, just that I think more needs to happen for my belief to be shaken that they're going to the finals.
No, but if my trust was not great coming into this series, to the degree where if I had to, gun to my head, I was going to pick the Sixers in a long series in this series.
Oh, my
I just don't,
God.
Yeah, because of you, all the stuff that you mentioned, I think that they're very dangerous. I think that I don't trust Mike Brown, and I can't trust the Knicks to be consistent because I haven't seen it from them. So if you see it in game two, then it starts to get uh-oh for me. Not that they can't win the series, and not that I wouldn't trust Brunson to lead them to bounce back or have a long series, but it would be a battle that they shouldn't even be in. If the Knicks play their A game, the Sixers can't touch them, as dangerous as they could be. So it would take the Knicks to play less than their A game to come down to the Sixers level. And if you do that right out of the gate in a series again, and then thinking about championship aspirations, I'd start to maybe have some doubts, not only about this series, but also about what they could do against Detroit and certainly in the finals. In my mind, put it this way, maybe they can't do a ton of harm, but if they win this game in somewhat convincing fashion, I think they could do a lot more good in my mind and say, okay, it's safe to fully go all in and love this team and trust them, and I'm not going to get hurt by it, certainly not in the second round.
So we only have about like 60 to 90 seconds left here. Actually, I'm like, I don't know what I want because there's so many things we could possibly do here. You know what? I'll ask you this. So did you see what happened with Framber Valdez last night with the Tigers and AJ Hinch?
Yeah, I didn't see the comments. I saw Valdez drilled somebody, right?
Yeah, so Valdez gives up back-to-back homers. It was kind of like when Benitez drilled. It's kind of like a similar thing. Tino Martinez back in the day. So
right in the
Valdez
back,
gives up two bombs, drills Trevor Story, benches clear. AJ Hinch after the game is like, basically throws Valdez under the bus. Basically, he did it on purpose. That's not exactly how he said it. That's basically what he said. And Hinch is like, we play a certain brand of baseball here. Now, I know you're not a Yankee fan. Do you find any of this to be ironic, given that he was the manager of the, like, confirmed, like, admitted cheater Houston Astros in 30 seconds?
So what, saying that he's trying to be, like, above that? Yeah, I mean...
Well, I think this guy has, like the temerity to say, we play a certain brand of baseball here. Buddy, like, you were the manager of a team that banged on trash cans and cheated to win a World Series.
That's a fair point. I would look at it more from the aspect of, dude, how are you throwing your guy under the bus? Like, I just think that that's a bad look to do that for a manager. I'm not saying you can't get on him behind closed doors, but to throw him under the bus like that, yeah, to boot when you were the manager of the cheating Astros, I could see why you would have an issue with that. And that, by the way, that's why I wouldn't sign Valdez. He's a loose cannon, man. The stuff from crossing up the catcher, throwing at the catcher on purpose, I would not touch Framber Valdez. So good luck.
You're right. He's a crazy person. You're right. And it's compare and contrast with Aaron Boone, who like Jazz Chisholm could like shoot somebody on the head, like on the mound during a game, and Boone would get up there in the postgame press conference and be like, yeah, you know, I thought Jazzy was on his game tonight. We got all the trust in the world. He'll be great. Sal, you're the best. Sal Licata Show on YouTube and in podcast form on Twitter at Sal_Licata. Be well. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Nick.
My friend Sal Licata joining us here on the show. Quick break on the other side. All our bets for tonight to wrap up the Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet.
Aaron Rodgers still hasn't decided if he's returning.
I thought at this point we would have known by now that he was going to play.
If the future Hall of Famer walks away, the Steelers will turn to a quarterback competition featuring Drew Aller, Will Howard, and Mason Rudolph. Not the plan, but is it their future? Westwood One Sports.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At Fisher Investments, we may seem like other money managers, but we're different.
What makes you so different than the rest of us?
We ensure clients receive unparalleled service at every step of the relationship.
Tell me more.
Our investment counselors focus on service over sales, prioritizing clients' needs.
How do you make money?
We don't sell any commission-based products. We have a simple management fee based on the value of our clients' portfolio. So we do better when our clients do better.
What about client portfolios?
We get to know each client, their finances, family, health, lifestyle, and more. And then we tailor a portfolio based on their specific goals and needs.
Your clients really come first then, huh?
Yes. We make them a top priority, Our goal is helping them achieve a comfortable retirement.
Wow, maybe we are different.
At Fisher Investments, we're clearly different. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com.
Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
This is the story of the one. As a procurement manager for a hospital system, she keeps every facility in her network stocked and ready. That's why she counts on Grainger to be her single source for thousands of products, from disinfectants to lighting, air filters, and more. And with fast, dependable delivery, Grainger helps her keep every facility stocked, safe, and running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Kostos on Westwood One Sports.
BetMGM players will receive a Champions League odds boost token. We got, how about Bayern Munich and PSG today? To use the token, add a UEFA Champions League bet to your bet slip and activate the token. If you win your wager made with the token, you'll receive extra winnings and unrestricted bonus dollars. Make it legendary. Download the BetMGM app today and please gamble responsibly. I managed the clock there like Philadelphia Eagles Andy Reid. That's my bad. Bill Zimmerman with the trivia question, and then we'll sprint with the bets at the end of the show.
All right, Nick. LeBron James at 41 years of age has scored 25 to 29 points five times in this playoffs, but he hasn't eclipsed 30. LeBron is not the oldest player Kareem. In NBA history to score 30 points in a playoff game. Who are you guessing?
Kareem.
It is not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Would you like a second guess? He is third. LeBron is second.
Robert Parrish. That's right. Parrish would never score. Would never score.
Yeah, it was not Parrish.
How long did George Mikan play? Is it like a newer?
It's this century.
Someone that old?
You wouldn't think of him as a this century player. You'd think of him as an 80s and 90s guy.
And this is someone that's in their 40s, scored 30 points.
Yes, they were 40, almost 41. They're about 2 months shy of their 41st birthday.
Karl Malone.
Karl Malone is correct. 2004 right, with the Lakers.
It took me 9 guesses. All right. Well, thank you to Bill. Great job with the show today, Bill. Bill, Tyler's not here, actually, but he's apparently still doing work for the show. Something's wrong with all of this. Mike, Dan, Kenny, appreciate everybody very much. All right, Kenny, please drop the dope-ass beat. All right. You know what? I'm gonna use the Champions League odds boost. I asked our friend Jay Croucher earlier on the show, and Jay, just so people know, Jay bets soccer and does well. He's a big Arsenal fan these days. I'll just say that. Jay likes Bayern Munich to advance against PSG. PSG won the first leg 5-4. Bayern is -132 advanced. I'll use my Champions League odds boost, and I'll take Bayern Munich. A little afternoon footy to wet your betting whistle. Bayern Munich to advance to play Arsenal in the Champions League final. Otherwise, you know how I'm betting Major League Baseball right now. I'm riding the Mets and the Phillies. Phillies got it done again last night. We're going back to the well. Phils, -1.5 on the run line against the Athletics. Mets, -1.5 on the run line at the Colorado Rockies. A wise man used to say, it was Scott Wetzel, longtime sports radio guy. Bill knows him. That losers bet against streaks, winners bet with them. I'll lay the Knicks tonight against the Sixers. I'll lay the 7.5 with the Knicks. I think the Knicks win by double digits. They keep it rolling, and I'm going to be a happy camper tomorrow morning. You know I'm betting the Wolves. Wolves +9.5 on the road at the Spurs. Maybe the Spurs win. I don't think the Spurs blow Minnesota out. Minnesota plus the points. And in the NHL, Give me the Montreal Canadiens plus 105 to win game one of the Eastern Conference semifinal series on the road in Buffalo. So Bayern Munich to advance, Mets and Phillies on the run line, Knicks minus the points, Wolves plus the points, Canadiens to win, and a partridge in a pear tree. That does it for the Wednesday edition of You Better You Bet. I will see all of you tomorrow morning on a tremendous sports Thursday. Until then, I'm Nick Costos wishing you minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. Our good friends, Black and Abdallah, coming up next on Westwood One Sports. And
this is Westwood One Sports.
With love I will build a wonderful thing that makes this life better for you and for me.
Shriners Hospitals for Children has been creating wonderful opportunities for children in need. This life-changing medical care helps them do the things they've always dreamed of. To find out more, go to loveshriners.org.
Doug. There's nowhere I wouldn't go to help someone customize and save on car insurance with Liberty Mutual, even if it means sitting front row at a comedy show.
Hey, everyone, check out this guy and his bird. What is this, your first date?
Oh, no. We help people customize and save on car insurance with Liberty Mutual together. We're married. Ah! Me to a human, him to a bird.
Yeah, the bird looks out of your league anyways.
Get a quote at libertymutual.com or with your local agents.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
You're listening to Westwood One Sports on WFAN FM HD2 New York. And
hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.